Let's open our Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 2. Let's read verses 1 through 4. 1 Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. I'll read also in 1 Chronicles, chapter 28, and verse 9, And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy fathers. Now I want you to notice these things. Know and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. So we had two passages of Scripture. We want to talk about David's charge. It says in the first verse we read that he charged Solomon, at 1 Kings 2, verse 1, that he charged Solomon, his son. And then when in that charge, he says in verse 3, and keep the charge of the Lord thy the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways. So hold your place there in 1 Kings chapter 2, if you would, for reference. And we'll talk about many things about David's charge to Solomon. Now, David's counsel to Solomon was of double value. He spake as a dying man and as a wise and loving father. He was anxious for the moral and spiritual welfare of his son. David's charge to Solomon was very meaningful. There were many in the Bible that were given charges for various reasons. Moses charged Israel in Deuteronomy 30, verse 16, to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, much the same, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. And he goes on to say that thou mayest live and multiply when Moses charged Israel. And then Moses charged Joshua to be strong and of good courage. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge. And he charged him concerning those same things. And God himself charged Joshua after the death of Moses. Remember in Joshua chapter 1, what it says about what God did concerning Joshua. It says, Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. He says, Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan. Verse 5, he says, There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Goes on to say, Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And he goes on to say, Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And I want to read verse 8. It says, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And he goes on to tell him that he will be with him. And so he charged Joshua. Later on, Joshua charged Israel to keep the law, to do all that is written in the law. Samuel charged Israel, 1 Samuel 12, verses 1 through 25. By the way, Jesus charged the apostles with a very simple charge in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." And then he says, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." You know, Christ's disciples cannot be recognized when there's hate or there's all kinds of problems and trials and things that people make a big to-do about. But they can. The world will see when we love one another in the midst of all the things we have to face. When there's love in the church and love for one another, then people will recognize that it's of the Lord. And here, by the way, before we get to what we talk about, Jesus charged the apostles. Paul charged Timothy to preach the word. Remember, Second Timothy chapter 4, he says, "I charge thee before God to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, to exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." He says, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." There are people that are turned to fairy tales and stories today that are turning away from the Word of God. And we need to realize that Paul charged Timothy to be instant in season and out of season. And that's not only summer and winter and fall and so on, but it's in season when people are in season and out of season. When it's acceptable and when it's not acceptable. When you have a hard time doing it or when you have an easy time doing it. But he said, be instant in season, out of season. But here in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, David charged Solomon, his son, to be strong. And he says, keep the charge of the Lord. Let me read that again in verse 2. "I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man." What? "Be strong and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord." David charged Solomon, his son, to be a strong and godly man. The thrust of this charge was godliness, by the way. And manhood and godliness are joined together. In this day and hour, someone says, "Oh, he's much of a man." And they look at his muscles and they look at his accomplishments, maybe out in contestant world where they show themselves great athletes or go to the Olympics and stuff. Well, it takes physical manhood for that. But David said to Solomon, "Show thyself a man and keep the charge of the Lord." Remember how that men used to say you'd visit a house and the man would say, "I'm going to leave." You'd invite them to church and the family to church. They say, "Well, I'll leave my wife and up to all the religious things in our lives, and she takes the kids to Sunday school, or she sends the kids to Sunday school." Maybe that's not keeping the charge of the Lord. Amen. Keeping the charge of the Lord for you as a father to bring them and come with wife and children. Amen. That's the charge of the Lord. Amen. And David charged Solomon to keep the charge of the Lord. He said to be strong. The Bible says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God." To be a man, to be manly as a man who is godly is a man. To walk in the ways of God. God has ways that we're to walk in. Let me read for you in the book of Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, it says this, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. God says, I have a way for you to walk in. Then He has another verse of Scripture I'd like to give you. It's in 35 verse 8. Let me see. Isaiah 35 verse 8 says this. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. Though fools shall err therein. So we find that there is a way that God has pointed out. To walk in God's ways and to obey God, to keep His statutes, His commandments, His judgments. He was to be a servant. He was to be reverent. He was to be truthful with his heart and soul. No wonder later on Solomon wrote, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Because David taught him something about the heart. We see in this message I'll try to bring you the importance of complete obedience to God. We see the necessity of personal resolution. You have to resolve to do something. People do not resolve to carry out what God wants them to do. And then we see the assurance of resulting blessedness from it. God will bless you if you will follow that way and that line of thought. There are many wonderful qualities in these words of David. Be strong and show thyself a man. Many qualities that we need to study, and I'll try to give you some of them this morning. First of all, acquire a noble purpose in life. He did not want Solomon to just drift along with the tide. We want our young people to acquire a noble purpose in life. Why are you here? What would God have you to do? Do you have anything before you that you want God to help you to do and accomplish in life and how you want to serve God? Acquire a noble purpose. Some people, too, just drift along with the tide. They say, well, the world's doing this, the world's doing that and doing that. I'm just following along. You're not following a good example if you're following that way. Just slipshod, haphazard life. Make up your mind what God wants you to do. And Paul, David told Solomon to do it. Remember, we read that one in 1 Kings. Take heed in verse 10. Take heed. That's chapter 28, verse 10. It says, take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it, he says. Be strong and do it. What purpose do you have in life that God wants you to do? Set your eyes upon the goal. Don't plow a crooked furrow down the... You know, as the illustration is given by one years ago. I believe it was Spurgeon where I read this. There was guys plowing in the field, you know, in the old time, holding the handle of the plow and the mule or horse or oxen in front of you and just wobbling here and there. And one fellow just plowed a straight row. And he says, how'd you do it? He says, I set my eyes on a tree at the other end of the field and I just kept aiming at that tree. And you go straight. And you set your eyes on the goal and keep that goal in front of you and go that way and don't be deterred one direction or other, and you'll plow that straight furrow. And we need to have an example that like that before us. And we need to have a noble purpose in life. And young people need to have a noble purpose in life. David had set an example of faith and determination. Remember the lion and the bear? When he went up against Goliath, he says, God help me to face the lion and the bear. And he says, this Philistine, Goliath, I'm not afraid of him either. Because he went by faith. In Proverbs 22, verse 29 says, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. Diligent in his business. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. So, young man, acquire a noble purpose. Daniel of old purposed in his heart. Remember Daniel? He was captive, a young man. And he said that Daniel purposed, as the scripture says, that Daniel purposed in his heart not to take the king's meat or drink of the wine which he drank. And he came out victorious in his purpose for God. And some of us need the purpose that we will do what God wants us to do. We find that true manhood means self-control as well. Not only to acquire a noble purpose, but it means self-control. We have so many people that are out of control today. They can't even control themselves in their actions and in their emotions or anything. You know, Samson was a giant in strength, but he was a baby in self-control. Samson. By the way, that's a quote from Billy Sunday. He was a giant in strength, but a baby in self-control. He destroyed himself. Not the Philistines didn't destroy him. He let them destroy him because he destroyed himself. He self-destructed, as we call nowadays. And because he did not watch what he was doing, and he lusted and he leaned the wrong direction. He made the wrong decisions. Make great decisions after much prayer and thought. Pray about the decisions you make. And if you don't pray about them, they may be wrong. Someone said, I don't have to pray. I don't have time to pray about deciding about this. You better listen and take a little time to pray because you might just make a mistake. It doesn't hurt to pray about everything. At least you can offer up an instant prayer if you think it's that hurried to be accomplished. You can just say, Lord, guide me in this I'm about to think about one way or another and make sure I make the right decision. It doesn't hurt to seek God's guidance even at the last moment and say, Lord, please guide me in the right direction. And be governed and directed by godly principles and not by impulse. So many people are directed by impulse. By the way, never go shopping down at the grocery store when you're real hungry. Amen. You'll put everything in that basket and some of it you won't even look at for months. But that day you figured you had to have all of it. And you know, people do all kinds of shopping that way. And that's the reason they have so many credit card debts. I'm not here to give you advice about your business, but I would say I keep one card. And the rest of them that they send to me, and they'll send me gobs of them, and your credit balance, you can get up to $5,000, and they'll send me a handful of checks in the envelope as well as the cards. And I shred the checks up and throw them away. And by the way, make sure you shred them good. Amen. And then I cut the card up too and shred it. Because you never know what goes on in this world today. I don't know how people can use them, but they figure out a way to commit fraud. But what I'm saying is, you keep your business in order. And don't fall for every trick that comes along. And don't be governed by just impulses that come into your mind. Someone says, I thought that would be okay. You remember, thinking gets you in trouble sometimes. Every thought that comes across your mind is not good. I don't know about yours, but mine is not. Now I think, well, you know, maybe I ought to do this, and then all of a sudden it dawns upon me, I haven't reasoned it with that thought very much. God gave you something here to reason with as well as to think. And God says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God condescends to reason with us. Why should we not reason with the things that we have to deal with? Proverbs 25, verse 28 shows us the lack of self-control. It says this, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." He that hath no rule over his own spirit. Boys nowadays take an example from their fathers. So fathers, we ought to set good examples for our children. And then in the end, it'll prove out to be a blessing in your life and in theirs. The example of a godly father. That's why David said to Solomon, "Show thyself a man and keep the charge of the Lord." David was trying to set a good example before him. Not only acquire noble purpose and true manhood means self-control, but number three, get your training, develop your resources fully. Get an education. Someone said, I don't need an education. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. They say, well, Moses was just called a meek man and he was just called of God to deliver children of Israel. But he was schooled in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And then he was schooled by God in the backside of the desert for another 40 years. That's 80 years of preparation for his ministry. Pretty good long time, isn't it? And then he came to do the work. The last 40 years he spent in doing what God wanted him to do. Kind of reminds me, down in the seminary, one of the preachers was telling about a young man that said, he's going to quit school. He didn't need any seminary training. And one told him he needed to get an education and be taught. He says, "I ain't going to need none. I'm going to be evangelist." Well, you cannot be that naive. And you cannot be that ignorant about God's purpose in your life. So get you an education. Amen. Remember, Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel, a teacher and doctor of the law. And he was taught by him. And the apostles were at Jesus' feet. And they studied the Word of God for three and a half years under the greatest teacher that was ever upon this earth. Amen. And you and I say, well, we can just go slipshod through life and it'll work out all right. It may work out all right and you may exist, but you better get an education. In fact, if you're going to preach the gospel, you better know what the gospel is. Amen. And so we need to study. And not only under others that can teach us, but we need to study for ourselves. And the tools we get in school are just tools that we can use and go out and then really use those tools to become what God wants us to do. And be the person that God wants us to be. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So you have to get the training and develop the resources that you have fully and make best use of all the things that God has put in your hands to do what He wants you to do. And if you'll do that, God will bless it. And then the fourth thing, ask for God to give you courage to do right. The right kind of man will be determined to succeed. Fight your way to victory. It's not an easy thing. You're going to have to go out to battle. Paul told Timothy, he said, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold upon eternal life." And we need to do that. David went out against the giant because it was the right thing to do. You remember the brothers said, "Well, there's that giant there." He says, "David, what have you come down here for?" And David says, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a purpose for me being here?" And he went out and he met that giant in faith. And he says, I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. And don't let your work become what I used to call labor bound. In other words, if it's too hard and there's obstacles in the way, just give it up because you say it's not worth it. Remember, I gave you the illustration, I think probably many times, how that I was working on a house up in the other upper canyon. How many remember that? And we're putting this horizontal furnace under the floor, in the basement area and under the floor. And there was a big old rock in the way, and I had the plumbers in there, and I said, I want to put this furnace right here because here's where all the ductwork goes and so on. Well, we can't put it there. That rock's in the way. I said, well, break that rock up and get it out of there, and then you can dig a little bit and put the furnace there and put a platform, put it on. And they pecked around on it a time or two, and of course, I wasn't strong, but I knew better. I knew one thing, persistence sometimes prevails. So I got under there and I chipped a chunk of it off and then another little chunk of it off. And I said, see, just keep on. And finally I got them to knock that rock out of there and put the horizontal furnace under there, and we installed it and everything was okay. But you know, we give up too quick. Don't quit. Have some determination. Have some stick to it. I think I had a little thing I read for you one time in the back of my Bible about don't quit. It says, when things go wrong, and as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. It says, life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You might succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you mustn't quit. So don't give up. Don't give up the battle. So we need to be determined to do right. Everything worth accomplishing has obstacles in the way. The land flowing with milk and honey that was before them had things that they would have to overcome. Number 5 in our message is this. The man who would be a man must feed his soul on manhood. Do not feed upon your soul upon the filth of this world and the trash of the ungodly. This is an ungodly world. The world offers its pleasures, its lust, and everything like that. But Moses said in Hebrews chapter 11, it was said concerning Moses that he thought it best to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And the pleasures of sin are very seasonable. But feed yourself upon the Word of God. It's milk for the babe in Christ. The Bible says, Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And Paul tells the Hebrew Christians in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 12, he said, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. But he says, strong meat belongs to those that are full age, even to them by whom reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so they needed to grow as Christians. We have too many baby Christians in the church today. How many times a week do you open your Bible? How many times a day do you open your Bible? And we might put it this way, how many times in a month do you open your Bible? You open it and just don't glance at a verse and then forget it. I remember when I was a little boy, my dad worked out of the sheriff's office over in Carrizosa, an old Model T Ford. He'd drive back and forth, and I just longed for him to come home. And Mother told me, and this is kind of barnyard scripture to do this, said, you open your Bible three times, and if you find the words, and it came to pass three times in a row, well, he'll be coming home. And I'd look, and I wouldn't find, and it came to pass. And I'd look again, and I'd say, well, I'm going to start over and try it again. And three times, and three times more, and three times more, and it never did happen that I got three in a row. But eventually, he came home anyway. But you know, people are taught to just kind of look at the Bible and say, well, now, open the Bible and put your finger down. That's what God wants you to hear. Well, you might put your finger down on where it says Judas went out and hanged himself. Or you might put your finger down on where it says, go and do thou likewise. And you might come up with the wrong answer, just hit and miss. That's no way to study the Bible. Have a purpose and a plan. And read the Gospels. And go straight through and read a portion of Scripture. And keep it in its context. And make sure you read it all in just a little hit and miss part. Because you might get misled even reading the Bible. If you put it that way. If you say, there's the answer to my problem. Well, read the whole context and see the answer to your problem. And then you will know what God wants you to do. And then the Bible tells us, there's a scripture that says, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Let me give you that in, let's see, I believe it's 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let me read this for you. Beginning with verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, Paul says to Timothy, this is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables. Now look at this statement, verse 7. And exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. You don't see a man with great physical strength and muscles, big bulging muscles, who has never exerted any physical effort. He's had to build those muscles. Some of these athletes, some of these people that are in the Olympics, they have to exercise. The boxer has to do that. Well, then, if we're going to be godly, we have to, Paul says, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. He says it has a profit in the life that now is and of that which is to come. The best example anywhere in the life of is the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Looking at His love and His strength and His wisdom and His power. Exercise thyself in faith. If you want to have greater faith, exercise. Read the Word. Because the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Exercise your love. We just read where Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. Exercise your Bible knowledge. Do the will of God and you shall know the doctrine, Jesus said, whether it be of God. Show thyself a man. Exercise in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's see what David was. David was a man of heart after God's own heart, the Bible says. David was a man anointed. Remember, Samuel anointed him to be the king over Israel. David was a man by example. He was faithful in feeding his father's flock. He was dependable. His father sent him out. He knew what he would do and he could count on him. He was courageous. He had unwavering confidence. He went up against the lion and the bear in the name of the Lord, and so he came up against Goliath in the same way. His faith was in the name of the Lord God of hosts. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. David was a man of character. He was a man of patience and long-suffering. And last of all, David was a man of wisdom and instruction. When you think of the things that Solomon wrote in the book of Proverbs, Solomon himself said that a son should attend to the words of his father. The first chapter, chapter 4 especially, he says, take knowledge of the words of your father and of your mother. And David was very thorough in his instructions to Solomon.